warm welcome to everyone to this service of worship today. And make sure at the conclusion of the service you turn around and say hello to your neighbors, especially those neighbors that you don't know very well, and introduce yourself. I want to reiterate what is in the bulletin. A huge thank you to everyone who helped make this year's Vacation Bible Camp to Mars and Beyond a wonderful success it was. It's great to see this important children ministry happening in Appleby. We had 38 campers this year and 27 big kids that helped make it possible. And certainly the smile on the children's faces make it worthwhile. And if that doesn't work for you, then the great interesting snacks do. Again, remember lemonade on the lawn after church today. Invite those around you. The refreshing change from coffee and tea in the summertime. And notice the announcements in the bulletin. Please consider being a part of Appleby's music program, whether it's the choir, drums, handbells, or ukuleles. And other announcement in the bulletins, rummage sale, fun script, artisan kitchen, and country kitchen, and more. So I'll leave you to look at those at your leisure afterwards. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Technical problems.
Let us acknowledge magic. Way to go, John. Magic. Let us acknowledge God's presence through spoken word. In the presence of the faithful, let us proclaim God's name. In times of joy and pain, whether serving at table or in the streets or on the mountaintops, in our learning and teaching and in all of our growing. Come, let us worship God, let us pray. Come into our lives, Jesus. Help us to be faithful listeners. Our next hymn is number 510 in Voices United, the hardcovered hymn book. We have this ministry, 510. Thank you. Please be seated. Taking a time of reflection is important in our lives, and it's part of our scripture lesson today with the Mary and Martha story. And we teach this by taking a time of reflection each Sunday. Let us pray responsively. God of love and patience, we take this moment to pause and confess those times when we are too busy for you, for one another, and for ourselves. Let us come to you in a time of silence. When we are too busy to spend time in prayer and listen in our hearts for your word in our lives. When we are too busy to notice the needs of others and ways in which we can be present with them. When we are too busy to stop what we are doing and help one another, to laugh with one another, or simply notice one another. When life becomes overwhelming and we do not even take time for our own needs, help us to listen to your voice within our hearts, calling us back to the center of our lives with you. Let us take another moment to listen to God's voice within our hearts, calling us back to our center, our lives in God. Amen. Let us now remember that we are enfolded in God's love and grace always. In Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, making peace with all things on earth and in heaven. God offers us forgiveness for all our sins. We are invited to dwell in God's house, to grow in God's garden, to sit at Jesus' feet. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today is one I'm sure you will remember when I start to read it. It's from the book of James entitled Faith and Actions. And many people think maybe James and Paul were at odds because Paul would always say you are saved by faith alone. And I remember reading this week and I thought it was very interesting saying that Paul was talking about people who are new to the Christian faith. We are saved by grace alone, faith alone. And James was addressing people who had been living in the faith for a while, and now he was telling them that it's faith and actions that we need to live out our faith, not just talk about it. Verse 14. My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? Can your faith save you? Suppose there are brothers and sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. But someone will say, one person has faith and another actions. And my answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith by my actions. And our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. And it's the story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken from her." Thanks be to God for these words. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you do some kind of exercise? Anyone here? Put your hand up if you do some kind of exercise. Thank you very much. If you are able, follow your hand up and please stand up. Okay, if you do some kind of exercise. Awesome. Thank you very much. No, stay standing. You can't sit down yet. If you think exercise is a good idea, but you haven't got around to it yet, you know, please stand if you are able. You're getting the idea. I'd like as many as possible to please stand. If the only exercise you get is walking or wheeling yourself to the kitchen table to eat, please stand. Okay, now since we don't... No, you can't sit down yet. Stay standing. Now, we don't have a lot of room here, so what I want you to do this morning is shuffle three steps to your right. Take a little shuffle. Three to your right, even if you have to go out into the... Thank you, into the... Awesome, thank you. Now shuffle three to the left. Wonderful. You didn't know you were coming to an exercise class this morning, did you? Okay, stay standing. If we had room this morning, I would have had you have taken two or three steps forward or walk around in a circle. What do you have to do to walk? Move. What else do you have to do? Move your feet. Thank you. Do you put one before the other? Your right foot forward, then your left foot forward. So to walk, we have to put one foot in front of the other to make it to a destination. Now, if you only had one leg and you had to hop, would you get very far? No. You need both legs to keep going, and you have to put one foot in front of the other. Please sit down. Finally, you get to sit down, right? You know? Now, since we're talking about prayer this morning, it's too bad, you know, I could have you kneel for a while, but, you know. I wanted to do that this morning to illustrate this morning's scripture passage, the Mary and Martha story. What is Martha doing? Working, thank you. Where? In the house, cleaning, right? Getting ready. Has anybody here got ready for company? You know, done the baking, cleaned the house, all those good things. What is Mary doing? Sitting. Where is she sitting? Thank you, at the feet of Jesus. The term sitting at the feet of someone is a cultural description of a student-teacher relationship, especially in that day. It was quite an cultural anomaly in Jesus' day for a woman to sit at the feet of a rabbi or a learned teacher. I mean, it was done, but not very often. Studying scripture, prayer, the contemplative life. Well, we need to know this is not an either-or situation if you want to be a follower of Jesus. It is a both-and. It's kind of like walking. You need both feet to move forward, your right and your left. Now, I say that recognizing that some people have difficulty walking. And actually, a retired minister I know from Brantford went to Florida this winter. There was on a holiday, an aneurysm that broke behind, I think it was his left knee. He was rushed to the hospital, and the operation was a success, but it didn't heal properly. He had poor circulation, and the leg was taken off above the knee, and now he's learning to walk with a prosthesis. You know, and that happens. Mary and Martha, prayer and works. I found it interesting when I started reading about this passage this week. Can I share a little story with you? Thank you. The Vision Lead team has been looking into an alternative structure for the governance of Appleby United Church to help it move forward that will give more focus for the vision of Appleby United Church and make it easier for new ideas to come forward. One of the ideas for the new leadership team is the place of spiritual disciplines. Prayer and reflection on scripture in this governance model. And the Vision Lead team was talking about that Thursday morning. Do you know what I was doing Thursday afternoon? Well, I started reading about these passages of scripture and in feasting on the word. So, first off, Cynthia Jarvis, the author, says both are necessary. You know, right foot forward, left foot forward, prayer, learning, reflecting on God's word, putting that word into action through serving others. Both are needed. She writes, "A community that is hospitable to Christ is a community marked by the attention the community gives to God's word or scripture. A church that has been led by worried and distracted by many things," what's used to describe Martha, "inevitably will be a community that dwells in the shallows of frantic potlucks, anxious stewardship campaigns, and events designed simply to perpetuate the institution. When anxiety and well-doing becomes the measure of our hospitality, then the church has forgotten the one who has been gathered to serve." Wow. When a congregation forgets and gets too busy to read scripture together, to ask what it means, to wrestle like Jacob, to ask for God's blessing, studying and nurturing faith that seeks understanding, we can forget the one who has been gathered to serve. I guess that's something we all need to think about more, and what this might look like for the new proposed leadership team and the ideas go to the church board in October. Now, this Mary and Martha scripture is not intended to make us feel guilty that we're doing too much of one and not enough of the other, but rather it's to point us towards life, hope, and joy. A spring of water that never runs dry. Life in all its fullness. Working towards balance in action. Serving Jesus by serving others. And then sitting at the feet of Jesus. Reflection. By keeping them both, it helps to prevent us from getting burnt out. Have you ever felt burnt out? Anybody here? Thank you. Have you ever been on overload? Have you ever needed a sabbatical from church meetings? Come on, be honest. Yeah, I saw a hand. Honest. Awesome. Dig into the Mary and Martha story. Now, you won't believe what appeared in my mailbox 2 weeks ago. It was after the sermon I did a couple weeks ago. It's a Touchstone magazine. I've started to get it maybe the last 2 years. And you probably can't read the word across the front of it, but the word is prayer in big letters. I thought that was coincidental. In the editorial, a retired United and Emmanuel College theological professor said he finally got around to reading a book that had been sitting on his shelf for years. Ask almost any minister, and they will tell you about the books that look good at the bookstore. They've read the first paragraph or the back cover and somehow never got around to finishing the book. Maybe that's happened to you. Well, the book that was wasting away on Peter Wyatt's shelf was Praying the Kingdom Towards a Political Spirituality by Charles Eliot. Eliot observes that many concerned Christians in the first world are caught in the jaws of a trap. On the one hand, in the face of profound material needs of millions of people, we can feel a sense of guilt for the material abundance we enjoy and for the colonial depredations from which we have benefited. On the other hand, in the face of the challenges of the world, economics, injustice, the power of despot rulers, the violence that casts a pall of fear over many lives, we can feel powerless. What do we do? Give up our concern and content ourselves with an individualized form of religion? Or jump into hyperactivism designed to purge us from guilt and powerlessness? Well, Eliot's prescription for this doubly daunting dilemma is the remedy of prayer. Sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary. Prayer that seriously seeks God's kingdom on God's term. He defines this as standing in all our weakness before God on the side of the poor and offering our psychic energies in the great battle against evil. Do you know who he names first? In ourselves, in our environment, and the whole cosmos. What a mouthful. Eliot believes that prayer is a means of releasing God's power in the world, thus affecting events in a more profound way than human power and actions alone could do. So did this Clifford Eliot simply stay at home or at church and pray? Do you think he stayed at home? No, he didn't. He spent his whole life as a political activist, meeting with politicians and economic leaders in the United Kingdom in his role as the executive director of Christian Aid. But he was clear about his view of the source of transformation. I quote, "As long as we imagine that the world can be changed by our activities, our good works, our energy alone, we substitute our effort for the power of God. That is ineffectual as it is blasphemous." End of quote. Eliot's bold claim is also that we feel this power animating our prayer life and equipping us for service in God's reign. Now, the key to Eliot's recommended style of prayer is using your imagination to live into the situations about which one is praying, engaging the stories of people affected by the crisis is one aspect of this. Imagining living your life in their shoes, life on the streets, caught in the cycle of poverty, what it takes to be retrained and get a new job. Another is living into the biblical stories to deepen our understanding of the nature of God's reign for which we work. And all this was said by a man who spent his life doing on behalf of the poor in service to God. For him, prayer, action, reflection was the model that gave strength and power and guidance for him to keep going in his role as an executive director of a Christian aid organization. I have a question for you this morning. Was there a time this past week when you thought you were doing the lion's share of the work, like Martha? Have you ever felt you were doing the lion's share of the work? How did you feel? What did you say or do? Did you keep muttering to yourself, or did you blurt it out? Was there a time during this past week you gave yourself a chance to sit down, to reflect, to read, to listen, like Mary? What was the outcome? How did you feel afterwards? How does this flow of action, reflection, action, or starting with reflection, action, reflection, move back and forth in your life? Welcome to the teaching of Mary and Martha, not just for your life, but also for the life of the church. In that same Touchstone magazine, John Butters, you may have heard the name, he's a retired United Church minister in his early 80s who spent 30 years at Harcourt Memorial in Guelph, reflected on his own life of this practice of action and reflection and contemplative prayer. And he founds it interesting he even started going that way, because he was a man of social justice. It was interesting to read the pieces that made up his prayer life. Absence, couldn't feel God's presence. Art, even drawing with his non-dominant hand. Reading, regular deep breaths, discernment. He had a long list of things. And he said, you know, about every 6 months, you know, he changed and tried something different. But the most important thing was to just keep doing it, keep trying, even in times when God seems absent. It was an active, ever-evolving process that he committed himself to, and it could start with something as simply as reading the daily bread that Norm Hockridge orders every year, or getting a daily devotion online. I've signed up for Cameron Trimble's. She says daily or almost daily. Do you know why she says almost daily? Because some days she doesn't get around to it, you know, the busyness. And she was this year's speaker at Horseshoe Falls Regional Meeting. Find something that works for you and keep going. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is 684. Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, number 684.
Spirit, grant that I may never see wise to console, hope to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Spirit, grant that I may never cease so much to be consoled as to console.
Please be seated. Your offering today helps to put prayers to help others into action. We'll now have our morning's offering.
We bring a yearning for justice, a passion for good, and a commitment to do your will. May our words and our works help to declare your goodness in the world. We pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Our prayer today is modeled after Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time for everything, and it's molded to fit into the Mary and Martha theme. Let us pray. There is a time to help, and there is a time to let someone else help. There is a time to work, and there is a time to take a break and renew your spirit. There is a time to lead, and there is a time to let someone else figure out what to do. There is a time to repair, and then there's a time to go and buy a new one. There is a time to offer help, and there is a time to let them learn on their own. There is a time to clean, and there is a time to make a little more mess first. There is a time to start a new ambitious project, and there is a time to stop and see that none want to work on that project right now. There is a time to worry about what will happen next, and there is a time to trust that even though unseen, there is a future coming. There is a time to speak up, and a time to just stop and listen. Amen. Let us now dream together the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our concluding hymn is number 665, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, number 665.
Pass me not,
pass me by.
Your love, O God, is a wonderful love, a welcoming love, an embracing love, a love wonderful beyond the telling of it. As we leave this time and place of worship, may that love we experience in you, O God, be reflected in our day-to-day living as we work for peace and justice for all your people. Strength.